We're back on News Radio KMAN in focus, continuing here for about another 7 minutes. We got Cheryl Collins joining us here from the Riley County Historical Museum. Really neat program idea here that you had doing the historical markers or the historical African American history here in Manhattan, the different places on the driving tour. You know, and I just real quickly ask you, and I know there's going to be the name change of 17th over to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and you know where that ends is on the K-State campus. And I think Dave Lewis brought this up last month on one of our radio shows about, you know, a need really to kind of do something with that MLK bust on campus, and whether or not you know, who's in charge of that, who makes those decisions.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a Martin Luther King Jr. commemorative committee in the community, and they spearheaded the change of the name of the street. And I think they may be looking into that issue a little bit. It's really pretty special that Martin Luther King Jr. spoke here, and that having that direct connection with that history. And the benches that are on that street are on the driving tour, and I love those benches. They have written on them, "A street fit for a king." And I think that was a really inspired inscription on those benches. I think it's interesting, in that 1960s period, Manhattan established a human relations council, and that came out of the ministerial alliance, the churches here in town, and that council began agitating for fair housing, agitating for better addressing the needs of the African-American community with paving the roads and the things that hadn't been done. And one of the things that group did was they sponsored a K-State student to attend the March on Washington in 1963. And that was the march at which Martin Luther King Jr. gave his iconic "I Have a Dream" speech. So I thought it was really interesting that group had seen the value of that event and made sure that a woman from Manhattan participated in it. It'd be fun to try to look her up and see what her recollections are from that period. Then eventually, Manhattan City Commission had a city-appointed human relations committee that, of course, was an advisory group to the city council or city commission. So, you know, that period is the period of change.
I always find it interesting when I see that we had some African-American elected officials, and I was kind of looking through the notes here. And if you go to the Riley County Courthouse, apparently there's some information about Wallace Kidd, the first ever African-American to serve as a county commissioner. Have we had any since? Do you know?
I do not believe so. And of course, Wallace Kidd is one of the people that I'm very grateful to have known personally. He'd definitely be on my list of people I wish I could have known if I hadn't had that opportunity. He was a really terrific person. And it's interesting because one of the things I found is that we had an African-American on the Manhattan City Commission very early, and in the 1880s. And that was when those Exodites came to Manhattan. They were very politically active. They participated in the party meetings, especially with the Republicans and the Greenbackers. And they were active in voting. They gave almost every African-American man voted in the election after they got here as Exodites, because there were a lot of folks that they reported in the paper had voted. And of course, it was all men because women weren't allowed to vote at that period of time. So it's interesting, I think, that really, that political activism was really there after those folks came in the 1880s.
Again, we're speaking with Cheryl Collins here. We got about 2 minutes here, Cheryl. And anything else you want to highlight before we wrap things up?
Well, of course, one of the places that I think is extremely important and continues to be important in Manhattan today is the Douglas Center, and that's at 900 Yuma. And that was built as a temporary center for African-American soldiers during World War I. And I was interested, the city of Manhattan bought the lots for that in October of 1941, and it was built by the end of 1941. So that turnaround time was really quick. Green Construction Company built the building, I think, and it was dedicated in January of 1942. The governor came. It was a big thing. The 9th Cavalry Band played, and of course that was the Buffalo Soldier group, so I think it had a really interesting connection here. And of course, Fort Riley brought all kinds of celebrities to Fort Riley and then the communities around it during World War II. And if those folks were African Americans, they came to the Douglas Center. And some of the folks that did come there were Joe Louis, who was heavyweight champion of the world in 1937, and Jackie Robinson, the first African-American to play in the modern league of the American, of the major leagues. So some really important people came through there. And it was really, the Douglas Center was a really, really important social center for the whole community, as well as soldiers from Fort Riley. And it continues to be a really important social center for all of Manhattan today. And with the new building, that'll be even more important.
Yeah, absolutely. I drove by there the other day, and it's looking really great. I can't wait to, I think they're going to do a ribbon cutting here in a few weeks, so it'd be really neat to see that.
And they're going to work on a African-American history mural to be part of that building, which I think is a really neat connection.
Very cool. Cheryl, thanks so much. And I guess we'll talk to you here shortly on the GMCF Community Hour.
Thanks.
I will anyway.
Yeah, Dave will. Coming up tomorrow on the show on In Focus, we will have Pottawatomie County Commissioner, not sure who yet, but then we'll also be talking to some guests from the Flint Hills Regional Leadership Program as well.
Okay. That'll probably be Jack, won't it?
Jack and
among others.
Sarah Keatley and Zach Bayless.
Okay. GMCF Community Hour is coming up next on K-Man. K-State Baseball begins at 11.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yeah, thank you.